Charity, since everybody was laughing at me. She said Alaska. I thought she was going on a cruise to Alaska. When she said Iceland, I said, are you flying? And y'all laughed. They do have cruises to Iceland. Just wanted to clarify that. Amen. Psalm 119. Let me read a few verses of scripture. I've been trying to pray about the next, I guess, message or the next series. There's a lot of things that are bouncing around in my mind. I am stuck right now, whether we've been doing it on Sunday mornings or not. I've been stuck right now in the fruit of the Spirit. Probably my own personal struggle, if I can just be honest tonight. I really feel like I put a lot of effort into the studies, into the messages. And I don't know sometimes, you know, I was saying to somebody the other day, in the early years here, maybe just pastoring, I even did it overseas, I did projects. Build a pulpit, built a baptismal pool, built flower planters, built platforms, just built, constructed, came here and, you know, just started doing things, windows and electric stuff and pews. And because one of the reasons I did that for me is accomplish. You want to accomplish something. And so it gets me through because, you have a job outside the church and you get tasked with a certain job. And I know Cody's talked to me before and Damon's talked to me. He went into great Damon. Devin talked to me the other day about these little rods that he travels the world and does. And I've talked to Josh, and Jacob's got things that he does and fills pallets and ships stuff and all that. And you have a goal and you have a window, and you kind of, Friday, you want to say to yourself, man, it's been a busy week. But man, look at what I got done. And I was blue collar, I can't say the majority of my life now, but been blue collar. And then came over into the white collar world, which is pastoring. And people aren't projects. But you want to present them, the Bible says, to the Lord perfect. And so you labor in the Word of God so you can work in that person's life to help them to get to a certain place. And I don't know, maybe I've just gotten to that place where I need to do projects around the church again, because I feel like a lot of times I honestly study. Studying is very difficult sometimes. I've tried to talk about that, the drop-ins, the phone calls, the text messages, the pastor, please reply to me ASAP things. And it can get you off track. But this fruit of the Spirit one, I'm not trying to babble, I really have a point. The fruit of the Spirit one has really gripped me in recent days, because I'm a missionary to Ohio. I want to be clear about that. And as a missionary to Ohio, I want to successfully plant the church and it be sustainable afterwards. We want to nationalize the church in Ohio. That makes sense? What do we mean by nationalizing the church in Ohio? We want to make sure it goes past us. And we want to make sure that somebody's there. And in order to do that, you study your Bible and you say, here's some things that we need. And I think one of the things that this church needs more than anything else, a backup piano player, a van that runs, lights that work. I think more than anything, not only does the church need it, but our community needs believers that are filled with the fruit of the Spirit. And I have watched, as I've prayed and studied, I don't know sometimes if these things fall on deaf ears. And I want to say you can't do that. You can't. You can't. I went to camp and I came back and I said, I wish I didn't see the things I see. What I mean by that is, just, I don't know, you know, maybe Nehemiah, maybe God endows preachers with certain things. They're supposed to see things. Nehemiah saw things and then he had to transfer that burden onto other people for them to see it. And I tried to do that as much as I can. But I feel like I've come to a Miss Cynthia. Is she in the nursery? She what? She doesn't feel well. Thank you. Did you know that ahead of time? That's a prayer request for pastor. Because I'm thinking about 1,000 people here trying to figure out if they're okay. I know John's been in a lot of pain the other day. That's me. That's the life of me. When I don't see somebody sitting in a church pew, I'm thinking about them and I want to make sure they're there. So this fruit of the Spirit has really gripped me. I shared something on social media the other day that gripped me. Gripped me, and I wanted to share that, and I'm sure people were looking at it saying, is that an innuendo towards me? Yes. It's an innuendo towards me, because it was gripping. And so I've been trying to pray about the next Bible study, and I'm saying to myself, why are we doing them? Are they helping? Are they changing lives? Are they assisting anybody? Are people growing as a result of it? Are lives being changed? And so on and so forth. And I've wanted to do attributes of an Antioch church. I mean, I look back through and I have a tendency to go through all of my, you know, now I used to put them in on paper and they're in volumes in my office, and now I keep them on my computer, and I will just look through them from time to time on things that I preach for me. I mean, there's things that I've studied that I want to look back on. Baptism, we did that the other day. I had some people say that was great. We still have people in our church that need to be baptized. And so you wonder sometimes the effect, and you say, well, Pastor, let me help you with that. Lower your expectations. And I don't think you can. I think we want to raise the expectations. When I put my hand to a job, I think any of y'all want to do this. Douglas, when you do something with the hands, you want to do it right. And so I'm pausing right now because I can't get my mind off the fruit of the Spirit. I want to read a few verses of Scripture, and I just want to share just a single thought tonight. I know I do a lot of series, but I just want to share a single thought tonight. And I hope it'll be a blessing. I hope it'll help somebody. We need revival. We desperately need revival in this church. I pastor y'all. There's things that are undone every service. There's things that linger. I get brought into it. I get involved in it. And then it's like the lights. You go home and it's not my circus. It's not my monkey. And then I get brought into circuses and I get brought into the monkeys in so many different ways. And let me say this, there are several of you in here. You're never on the radar. You are an absolute blessing to me. If it wasn't for you, my sanity would have been gone a long time ago. Amen. But I want to share something tonight, and I hope it'll be a blessing. I think sometimes people, you know, if you don't know, you have an excuse. That's why I try and preach as much as I can, so there is no excuse. I probably use this as an illustration before. When I lived in South Carolina, when they sent you your car registration, they would put statutes on the registration. And the reason they put statutes on the registration is a driver registering your car, how many times people, you pull over somebody, and nobody in here besides Brother Mike has done that probably, and they say, oh, I didn't know that. And so they put those on your registration for your vehicle, so ignorance was no excuse for breaking law. And so I try my best to preach as much as I can so that there's not an ignorance. I don't want to be standing there at the judgment seat of Christ one day, and I will be, with some of y'all, Notice I said some. With some of you all. And God's going to be the judge, and I'm going to be an eyewitness. And he's going to say, what happened here? And I don't know. We'll have a new body. We'll have a new mind. Probably can't lie. So there might be this, you can't say this. Well, I never knew. I never heard that. I was never told that. I can't even imagine all the messages I've heard that I'm accountable for one day. Do you know what I'm saying? And so then if I didn't say that, then he's looking over to me and he's going to say, well, how long were you there? You mean in 14 years you couldn't have covered all that by the time you were there? And then, of course, my defense will be, well, if they came to all three services. Amen. So let's read a few verses of Scripture and just give you something really simple tonight. Amen. Psalm 119. Longest what? Chapter in the Bible. What does it focus on? What does it focus on? The Word of God, the Bible. Was there? I heard something else in there. What's that? Verse 1. And this is the alphabet. They're broken down into eight verses each for each of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. Verse 1 of Psalm 119. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. Can I give you a tip, Miss Allison? I don't bring a phone. The last time I did, it reiterated why I didn't bring my phone. Because what did it do? Pandora just kicked off and had a mind of its own. The devil has a way of getting in all the details, so we come with minimal stuff. I think Cleveland, the last time I was at Cleveland has a screen up, don't they? Community has a screen up, don't they? Where it says silence all phones. That's, you're just feeding, no, I wasn't pointing to you, Miss Allison. I was pointing to the soundboard. You're just feeding my problems already that I have. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies. Listen to these words that are used. I started walking again. And I was, as I walk, I'm looking, I've in my own studies to help me, I just looked at all the references of walk, walking, walketh. Those are Bible studies that you can't change. I mean, they impact you. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You get in the Word of God and it changes you. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. You can't walk in the law of the Lord if you never read the law. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. And I'm not being sarcastic when I say this. Notice it isn't the pastor keeping them and just sharing them with me. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. We have that. You know who directs us to keep his statutes? The Holy Spirit of God. He equips us. Thus the reason for a study on the fruit of the Spirit. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. Respect's such a keen word. I did a study on respect today. It's amazing how much disrespect we have as Christians towards each other. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. O, forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal, for the young folks in here today, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. So if I don't have a father to instruct me, if I don't have people to guide me, can I cleanse my way? Sure I can. How? I've sat in my office, I don't know how many grown men I've heard give me excuse after excuse after excuse, talking to the wrong person to give excuses to. Because I found that you can cleanse your way. How? By taking heed thereto according to his word. That's why we should cherish this. It should be, there's a reel out now with a young man. He's driving around. He said, I think that the whole thing, the whole premise is how we'd be if we, and he replaces the cell phone, driving down the road, getting gas, doing all the, you know how many times we pick that thing up and we're just, and he replaced it, and the whole reel is him holding the Bible, reading it. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word? With my whole heart. Isn't that convicting? We have to answer that question when we read those. See, here's the thing about reading the Bible. You read the Bible, you have to answer the questions. You have to answer the impositions, the inquiries, the mirror. Instead of most people today that'll walk away and say, well, that's just how the pastor feels. I follow so many different Christian people, and they'll have these things. The thing that gets me sometimes is, well, this is how I feel. This is what I think. God never asks us our opinion on what we think the Bible says. We're just supposed to read it and obey it. With my whole heart have I sought thee. We could have an invitation there, couldn't we? And the question being, let me ask you this question before we read the next verse. Have you sought God with your whole heart this week? Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Whew. That's convicting, ain't it? Rejoiced in the testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect. There's that word again. And have respect unto thy ways. See, we respect God because God says, here's, I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide for you. And in return, can you respect me? And there's going to be things that you don't like according to your flesh, but I'm doing that because I love you and I care about you. But I know it goes against the flesh and it bothers you that we don't want to be controlled, do we? We put our limitations on how far God can take us. There was a discussion the other day or today, I can't remember what it was. There was a big discussion on a couple of people that I'm in a preacher's group with travel a lot and go to many churches, and they said one thing they have noticed recently is young men don't surrender to the missionary, to preach anymore. It's just not happening anymore. And my answer to it was, I said, it's one word, but it falls into two different categories. There's two reasons, but it falls into two categories. Surrender. People don't surrender to the ministry because of all the... They see it and they say, wow, I don't know if I can do that. I don't know if I want to do that. I got to care about people. I got to do things. I got to preach the word. I got to study my Bible. So it's surrender there. And then the mission field, nobody's going to put their stuff in a little tote and travel to the other side of the world because the house and all the things and all the nice things that Americans have. I've said it 1,000 times. I'm going to keep saying it. God, this country will be destroyed before it's over with foreigners. You know why? Because we refuse to go to the mission field. I'm finding that the women that surrender to the mission field, three of our top five missionaries, and they're all great, don't get me wrong, but I'm going to tell you what, you never hear them belly aching, moaning, begging, asking, compromising, nothing. They're just... Sarah Barnett, Hannah Bennett, Rachel Tarvin. Before it's over with, I don't know, while I'm pastoring here, we might just have all women missionaries. falls under surrender. Where's the surrender anymore? I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I still believe God's calling people to preach. I think every service, it's not the pastor asking, it's God. When I surrendered to preach, there wasn't a pastor asking nothing. He just said, if you've got a lunch in here, like this little lad, if you just share it, it could be a Sunday school teacher, it could be, I scratch my head to fill slots. Jacob's been begging for men to sing. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Why'd you say what you just said? Because one of his ways is that it continues on. That this church continues on, that the gospel ministry continues on. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. Father, we'd ask you to help us tonight with just a simple thought. So many things have already been said, just sharing my mind, sharing my heart. Lord, I pray that you'd captivate somebody tonight. You'd shake their little bush and help them. Lord, you know I diligently study the scriptures and try and put something on the plate that would be pleasing to you and helpful to somebody else. And I pray, Lord, that we see that more, that it's not just three hymns and a special and a message and a let's go home, but that it captivates us and it absolutely places us where we need to be so that you might use our lives. Help these little thoughts that I have tonight. I plead, Lord, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I think it was... could have maybe been 2 years ago, maybe. 2 years ago, the house flooded. I don't know. It's flooded so many times, I can't remember how many times it's flooded. And in the process of it flooding, I lost a lot of things. And I was downstairs sifting through them. And I came across some notes that I wrote down. And when I saw them, it immediately just captivated me. I had a thing. I had a little spiral binder, I guess you would call it, three-ring binder. I would read this poem that I came across years ago anytime before I preached. I'd go into the jails before we were taken up on the elevator to the different floors and so on and so forth. I'd sit there and I'd read that. And it was my motivator. It was my mooring point, if you will, before I went into the prisons and the jails to preach to somebody. I did it when I filled a pulpit on Wednesday nights when I was in Bible college. At a local church. And while I was in Bible college, and God was really, you know, it's Bible college for me was like the kids going to camp. You couldn't get away from it. Every week there was homework assignments, there was memorization, there was all different kinds of things. There was chapel. So every week, I didn't just have Wednesday services and Sunday morning services and Sunday night services. I had Monday night services and Tuesday night services and so on and so forth. And one time when I was in Bible college, I wrote these things down. And I came across them while I was searching through the house. And immediately it just captivated my heart, you know, to find something from, my goodness, I was in Bible college probably 1995. What's that make it to today? Huh? Is that 30 years? 30 years? And 26 can't be. 31 years. Half September, June, July, November. Oh, looking out at the crowd sometimes. And so I wrote these down. I want to share them with you tonight to help you. They've been a help to me. So get a pen. Take notes. Don't take it for granted. You say, it ain't going to help me tonight. Well, I'm not hungry tonight for it. Well, just write it down. You might need a lunch later on. Okay? I wrote this at the top of the page. Michael, here are some things that you desperately need to keep in mind. You can title it however you want to title it. Number one. I only have 32 of them. Okay? We won't be long, Miss Paula. We're going to get you on your cruise to Iceland. Number one, be sure you are saved. You say, really? Do you know how many people I watched get saved in Bible college? It was a common practice. And I'm thinking to myself, How does a young man surrender to preach, leave his church, pack up his little stuff, come to college, and enroll in college, and he's not even saved? I have watched people that have made professions of faith multiple times. I've seen people, you know, I wish I could really illustrate some things that pop in my mind sometimes. I recently saw something the other day. I'll just say it like this. Ex-Christian. Deconstructing my faith. I'm so nauseated with people deconstructing your faith. You're not deconstructing your faith. You never had faith. Faith doesn't get deconstructed. This isn't a cooking show where you take a potato casserole and you deconstruct it for the modern dish for the day. That's not how that works. Be sure you're saved. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. The Bible says this to a church. Examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. That's a powerful statement. That is a powerful statement. Can I say to you, being completely honest, now I know in whom I have believed, and I am fully persuaded, but that does not stop me from when a message is preached on salvation, that I sit there and I make sure, God, according to the Word of God, am I saved? Now, does that happen often for me? No, because I've already walked this. But as a young, I was 1995 in Bible college, and I had just gotten saved in 1993. And I was not like, and I hope I'm still not like, the average young person today. I've talked to some people. I was talking to somebody not too long ago. I have socks older than them. Their theology come off of of YouTube. And they're sitting there convinced that they're right. The Pharisees were convinced they were right. Be sure you're saved. I can't say it enough. If you're in here this evening, if you're in this church and you've been in this church for any length of time and you're lost because you want to be. You're lost because of pride. You're lost because of neglect. You're just sitting there saying, it's going to be embarrassing for me to come forward, and what will somebody think? And that's all the lie of the devil, instead of just sitting there getting clarity for it. Because watch this. While you struggle with your salvation, you are jeopardizing everybody else that's watching you say you are saved. And they're sitting, that's why the lost world looks, and this is how I looked at people when they said they were Christians and believers, and I said it to myself 1,000 times at least, if that is Christianity, if that's what they call Christianity, I do not want nothing to do with it until I met someone that really lived out his faith. And I said, wow, and I said, now tell me again, because I saw a demonstration of the real thing, and I said, that's it right there. Number one, be sure you're saved. Don't leave church service after church service after church service questioning, wondering, oh, I feel convicted. Now listen, it's one thing, and listen, every church service here, somebody leaves under conviction and doesn't do anything about it. I leave out of here under conviction. But I have the message, and I go back to my office, or I'm at the altar, and I'm sitting here saying, how can others just go out of here and never do nothing about it? Number one, be sure you're saved. If you're saved, you're His. All the other things will make sense if you're saved. He will navigate you. He will guide you. We are His workmanship. That workmanship, that construction begins, really, it began before that, but let's just say it begins at salvation. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Be sure you're saved. Let me ask you this. I have to before we move on. Are you saved? I've said it before. I don't get excited. I don't want to say I downplay it. When somebody comes forward for salvation, I am excited. But Paul said, prove your own selves. I've seen people say they were called to mission field. I watched somebody read a statement of commitment that I'm going to be a missionary from their cell phone up here. I've seen that 1,000 times. missionaries are dropping like flies right now. And then they come off the mission field, and then they get involved in something else, and I'm going, were you even saved? How do you get to that place, and then you get to that place? Be sure you're saved, number two. Just pretend I'm preaching to your neighbor. Or just pretend I'm going down memory lane and I'm just saying these things to myself and reiterating them. Number two, first, be sure you're saved, Michael. Number two, be separated from every known sin. Psalm 139 and verse 23. Be separated from every known sin. Psalm 139, 23. Search me. David, the psalmist, said, search me. Examine me, God. I mean, get in there, dig around in every little corner. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. That sounds like somebody wants to be separated from every known sin. 2 Corinthians 6 and 17. Here's another one. Wherefore, Paul said to this church, second letter to the church, not the first letter. Paul said to the church at Corinth, wherefore come out from among them. Here's a church that was struggling. They were dealing with so many difficult things, and they had their hands in the pots of so many different things. And I can't help but think it's like church today with so many people. They're so affected by the world that they bring the world into the church, and then they want everybody to, but I had good intentions. I meant well. Good intentions and meaning well doesn't change anything. We have an obligation, a responsibility when we come in. I have one, not just as a pastor, but as a Christian, not grieve the Spirit of God, not quench the Spirit of God, not cause respite to the Spirit of God, all those kind of things, to be filled with the Spirit of God every time I walk in the door. Be sure you're saved, Michael. Number two, be separated from every known sin. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And he says, I will receive you. That's not for salvation. That's for separation and sanctification. You can't eat at both tables, he said. He said, you can't eat at the table of the devil, and you can't eat at the table of the Lord. But how many times do we do that? If God knocks on your door, Michael, do something about it. It's not to restrict you, Michael. It's to help you because there's something coming down the road. My goodness, I wish I had a time machine. I wish I had a time machine and I could just get myself in it sometimes. I'm not immune to this like anybody else. These are my notes for me. These are things that I wrote down. It wasn't a sermon that was preached to me. It was something I wrote down to myself. There's a lot of times when I feel a certain way, say a certain something, act a certain way, get myself somewhere, that I ought to have a vision that where does this lead to? Be sure you're saved, Michael. Be separated from every known sin. We've gotten to the place in the church today, the church, not this church, the church. Let me just say that. Where we're just okay with it sometimes. We're okay with it. And then if somebody that's close to you or friends with you points it out, it's like, oh my goodness, how dare you say that? It's like I've grown used to that. There's a show Libby was watching the other day. I'm trying to think of the name of it. I can't watch it. My reflux. Dr. Pimple Popper? Is that what it's called? Has anybody ever seen Dr. Pimple Popper? And this guy, it was like this. And he's like, it looked like, what's his name from, what's that guy's name? And she gave me water. Quasimodo or something. And he just, it was small. And he begins to tell Dr. Pimple Popper the journey of this pimple. And it just started out like this. Oh, yeah, I know y'all love my illustrations, man. One thing about the illustrations, you go, yeah, there's no question about it. I see that. Started out small. Listen, I mean, it was like, It was like, and he just, everything else was fine, but there's this lump. And then he begins to tell the story. And I think I looked over at Libby and I said, man, when that thing, I had something on my back. Do you remember that, Tina? I had something on my back in South Africa. I'm in a mirror. I tied dental floss to that thing, cinched it up. I said, this is my hand before God. I cinched it up, left it on there for a day, started getting a different color. I said to Libby, I said, here, take these scissors, cut that thing off. Snip. And she did it. So remember that, Teeny? Do you remember it? Do you remember it, Cody? She just kind of half took it off. And I said, listen, I braced myself for one. I didn't brace myself for two. Take it off. And then she just, Cody, I think you grabbed the scissors finally, didn't you? What's your point, preacher? Sin starts out like a little pimple. And then before you know it, it's there and everybody else sees it. And then it affects your mobility. And then it affects getting around certain people. And then all of a sudden, sin is disgusting. Dr. Pimple Popper cut that skin open and it was disgusting. What's the point? We've grown used to it. We've accommodated it. We've named it. He named the thing. Some of y'all name it. Some of us name it. It's my friend. He's always there for me. Always. It becomes a part of who you are and you don't want to change. How dare you get rid of my pimple? How dare you preach on my pimple? Be sure you're saved, Michael. Be separated from every known sin. Number three, be saturated with the Scriptures. Be saturated with the Scriptures. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein both day and night, that thou may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, thou shalt have good success. Be saturated with the Scriptures. Oh, the illustrations I share. Here's another one. Some days I just want to lock myself in my own room and just somebody feed me through the screen. 2 Timothy 2:15. Here's another one. I'll give you my illustration. Study to shew thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be saturated with the Scriptures. Someone posted that verse of Scripture and then said, I don't know how many earned doctorates degrees I've earned. And the point I'm trying to make violates tons of Scripture while he posts that stuff. What am I saying? Study to what? To show thyself approved unto God. That means what you study has to agree with God. Right. Not find you a pet verse and then depart thereof. Not when somebody comments on that foolishness, delete their post because it's contrary to Scripture. We've blinded ourselves in the day we live in. I don't know. It's just amazing to me some days. I'm just Jeremiah, I'm just Nehemiah. These are the things that I see. And I've got years of sitting in this stuff. And here's what I say to myself. I've said it to the Timothy guys. Man, don't ever let me get that way. Don't ever let me believe that. Don't ever let me lie. Don't let me convince myself that posting a Scripture and coming up with that hogwash, it means something. Be close enough to me to say to me, Pastor, you're twisting Scripture. And now pastoring Curtin Baptist Temple. Be saturated with the Scriptures. Number four, be sincere in your supplication. Be sincere in your supplication. You know one thing that bothered me when I first got saved? I'd hear people say all the time in the first church I went to, praying for you. We use it as a catchphrase in the church. Praying for you. Praying for you. Do you know why a lot of churches have closed their Wednesday night prayer meeting? Do you know what most of the Wednesday night prayer meeting is filled with? Doctor's visits, gonads, hemorrhoids, backaches, knuckle blisters, and everything else. Instead of missionaries on the field. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest would send forth laborers. Be sincere in your supplication. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication. Man, I got some things I'm praying for. And I'm just being honest with you. Here's what God says to me. Okay, you've been praying. I said this kind cometh forth by prayer and fasting. I said, you mean to tell me I got to fast now? Yeah, I want to see how dedicated you are to this. When's the last time you had a fasting conference? Does anybody think about these things besides me? The seriousness of this and the sobriety of this. And when he's talking about Chronicles, and I know he's talking to Israel when he says this, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Be sincere in your supplication. When's the last time you sincerely sat down and prayed for any length of time for something to be better in you first, and then better in somebody else, and then come to him and say, could you fix this? Could you do this? Could you help with this? Be sure you're saved, Michael. Be separated from every known sin. Be saturated with the scriptures. Be honest. Don't raise your hand, raise your heart. When's the last time you sat down and read something more than just a verse? I mean, sat down and studied the Word of God. When I say that of you, when I'm in my office, I'm saying to God, God, I wonder how diligent I'd be in the Scriptures if I wasn't studying for sermons. But I've realized, I've found the life that it gives, the answers that it gives me. The conviction, I'm not afraid of conviction. I'm not afraid of saying, that's it, I'm wrong. God, I have to yield to that. Be sure you're saved. Be separated from every known sin. Be saturated with the Scriptures. Be sincere in your supplication. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Who was it that was, I asked you, Miss Janet. I said, how's Tim doing? You said, well, I don't know. He got on his ZTR. And I said back to you, what? He's doing fine. That's my happy place. I'm not saying it to beat her up. It's headphones now. It's earbuds in. It's cranked up as high as it can go. And I'm weeping. I'm crying. You say, that's a crazy place to pray. It's the only place I can get away from someone. I'm not going to answer the phone. And I got to figure out this option. When I put those things in, all of a sudden it goes, burn, burn. If I say a name, then somebody's going to think I'm shooting at them. K&G Menswear sent a text message. Do you read it or no? You know how your phone does that when you get a text message? You can turn that off. Would you show me? And I'd have peace driving or mowing my lawn now. Because then I'll grab one. I was doing it one time, and you grab it, and it's just who I am. That's my closet, if you will. Be sincere. Pray without ceasing. You can pray without ceasing. You can literally have people's mind. I'm sitting here preaching, and I'm saying, Terry, where's she at? And then John and Trish, and I'm thinking, and then I thought, I didn't see Cynthia tonight. Why? I'm praying for the people in the church. We ought to have that mentality. Let me give you the last two. James 5:16. Be sincere in your supplication, Mike. James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, if you get to James 5:16, you've got to come back to Joshua 1:8, saturated with the Scriptures. You got to come back separated from every known sin. You can't be a righteous man if you don't get those other things. Number four, be submitted, or I could say, be in submission, be submitted to the Spirit. Submitted. He has captivated you. He controls you. You don't budge, you don't move. You're dead, right? And He's alive. And He controls your every motion, your every move, your every statement. Be submitted to the Spirit. That's the whole gist behind the study on the fruit of the Spirit. Ephesians 4 and 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Do you know how many church services I've went through as a pastor and preach my lungs out, hoping the Spirit of God moves, and somebody's out with one another? Somebody takes time to do this and do that, and the service fixes that. Can I just say this? If all of us are filled and walking in the Spirit, there is absolute peace and harmony. I've said it to Mama several times when we're arguing at the house. How can both of us be arguing if we're both filled with the Spirit of God? Surely the Spirit of God is going to arrest one of us and stop us in this thing and show us our foolishness. You argue at home, Pastor? No. Be submitted to the Spirit. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Ephesians 5 and 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. I've seen church people more concerned about drinking the spirits, little s, than being filled with the Spirit, big S, and claim salvation. Here's another one, 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 19. Quench not the Spirit. I truly still believe that every time God's people assemble and the Word of God is open, that the Spirit should have liberty to talk and communicate with us and show us where we're doing good, where we're off just a little bit. It goes back to Jacob's message on the chastisement. It's just that, listen, Wesley got in the prayer room and he was a little off target. Dad come over and chastised him. What's the whole point of it? To grow Wesley up so he's a young, godly man. That's what the Spirit does. Let me give you this last one. We're done. Michael, some things you desperately need to keep in mind. Be sure you're saved. Be separated from every known sin. Be saturated with the Scriptures. You know when I read these, how I was feeling? I was thinking to myself, God, how many times have I failed in this list that you gave me years ago? He said, well, just pick it up and start doing it again. Be sure you're saved. Be separated from every known sin. Be saturated with the Scriptures. Be sincere in your supplication. You writing these down? Be submitted to the Spirit. Be steadfast in your service. Oh my goodness, I've watched people in and out and up and down and over, and I'll serve a little while and I'll stop a little while and I'll start this and I'll stop this. Be steadfast in your service. 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Here's four things I wrote down at the bottom. Write them down quickly. There's no commentary that comes with it. I wrote this down at the bottom. When He, capital H, when He convict, or when He cautions, beware. You ever read the Bible? There's just this subtle little caution. Beware. Number two, when He counsels, that's not the pastor, that's the Lord. When He counsels, listen, Michael. When He cautions, beware. When He counsels, listen. When He convicts, stop. When He convicts, stop. Lastly, this. When it concerns, start. That concerns me. That's for me. We've learned as Baptists to just brush it off. That's somebody else sitting on the pew. When it concerns, starts. Father, we thank You for tonight. We thank You for church. We thank You for our missionaries laboring all over the world. We thank You for the opportunity to come and pray. We thank You for the opportunity that the Word of God was opened. Several verses of Scripture were read. We thank you for the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. Lord, we thank you for this list. I thank you for this list personally, Lord, that you've given me. I've failed in so many different areas of it. Doesn't mean I can't get back to that list and set my course and direction sure, that it might help me and guide me and lead me so that I not be a castaway. God, you know my heart. You know my prayer. I pray that each and every person under the sound of my voice is saved, separated from sin, submitted to the Spirit, prays for one another as the privilege of a priest to pray. Lord, I'd ask you to speak to us tonight as only you can. Help us, guide us, lead us. There is a world that is attacking the very fiber of who we are, and we need to stand. I pray that the thoughts were a blessing tonight. Encourage somebody, help somebody that's struggling and said, is it worth it? Yes, it's worth it. Help us, I plea. Do what you do best. Let us not go out of here the same. I plea in Jesus' name. Amen.